This is KUOW. I'm Kim Malcolm. Tomorrow morning, people will gather in the Stillaguamish Valley east of Arlington, and everyday life will pause for a moment. They'll be attending the opening of the new Oso Slide Memorial, remembering the devastating landslide there 10 years ago that took the most lives of any landslide in U.S. history. If you're driving east up State Route 530 into the Cascades and you don't know the story, you might miss it completely. A mostly bare hillside with a few shrubs just above the North Fork Stillaguamish River. It's a far cry from what it looked like 10 years ago on Saturday, March 22nd, 2014, just after 10:37 a.m.
My name's Dan Rankin. I'm the mayor of Darrington.
Dan says it was a quiet Saturday. Baseball season had just started. People were looking forward to picking mushrooms when suddenly...
Everything changed. Absolutely everything changed.
An entire hillside above the Steelhead Haven neighborhood gave way. People tried to measure the slide's impact in numbers. It covered nearly a square mile of the valley and up to 70 feet of muddy debris in some places. It pulverized nearly 50 homes and it killed 43 people.
It was so unbelievable that you couldn't get your head wrapped around what you were seeing. You could see the distance, which was just about a mile from the top of the slide to where I was standing. It just didn't seem possible.
Joel Johnson was one of the first on the scene. 29 years old, his first solo call ever as a chaplain for the fire district. Joel stayed on site 38 straight days, working through the rescues, then the recoveries of the dead. He kept reaching for one verse, Psalm 119, verse 116.
And it says, Lord, sustain me as you promised. Do not let my hope be crushed. And then I've just literally hung on to that ever since.
In time, the remains of all 43 lost in the disaster were recovered from the massive mud field. The debris was cleared, the roadway reopened. All the hundreds of people who came to help in the first weeks moved on. But for those who remained, who lived in Darrington and Oso, the next struggle was just beginning, like when they would go down below to Arlington to get groceries.
Even after the highway opened again, some folks couldn't deal with it. They had to move away because you can't leave Darrington on the short route and not be reminded every time.
What they did want was a way to memorialize those lost and the scope of what had happened. 43 cedar trees were planted near the highway, but that wasn't enough. They wanted something more to honor each individual who died and those who worked to recover them. They started meeting with Snohomish County Park staffers, including Director Sharon Swan. She told us on the phone that the planning involved reaching out to all the families and hearing how they wanted their loved ones to be remembered.
The families didn't want their loved ones to have this memorial that was like tombstone-like. You know, they wanted it to be individual and really reflect their family members and be a celebration of those people.
And so, after years of discussions, fundraising, and planning, plus nearly $5 million from the county, and a year and a half of construction, the memorial is complete. It's located at what used to be the entrance to Steelhead Drive. You walk along a pathway and see tributes to first responders, to the survivors, and then you reach a group of curved steel panels dedicated to the people who died. Joel Johnson, the chaplain, walks me through on a windy day.
One is curved. They're all unique. Some of them have pictures, some of them don't. I mean, it's a little bit of everything. You know, it really is unique to what each family unit wanted to do to remember their loved one or loved ones.
Can you read this one for me?
Yeah, so this is Tom Durnell, devoted husband, friend, working man's intellectual. It says he was loved by so many who knew him for his big heart, generous spirit, and unique sense of humor.
We come to the Ruthven family panel. Six names here.
This was the one single family unit that lost the most loved ones. So,
can you read their names?
Yeah, so this is Shane and Katie and their boys, Wyatt and Hunter, and then his parents, Lou and Judy. It says, you'll be in my heart always. And then it's got a picture of the family together that lived here. And then, again, a representation of some of the wildlife and plants. And butterflies are a big deal to that family. So this is very representative of them.
There's also a circular gathering space anchored by a soaring steel sculpture. It was designed by Seattle-based artist Sovinar Maradian, who immigrated to the U.S. from Armenia in 2017. She calls the sculpture a beacon. It's situated so that every year on the anniversary at 10:37 in the morning, if skies are clear, the sun's rays will pass through it and land on a boulder dislodged by the slide. On that boulder, these words are carved: "Hope is seeing the light despite the darkness." Joel is now the chief of Darrington Fire District 24. He lives a few miles down the road.
I literally don't know that there's a day that I drive by where I'm not remembering the families, those that had lost loved ones or those that were rescued. So I say a prayer for them just as I'm driving by. To or from, it's everybody's getting prayed for at least twice a day that I'm driving by, just because that's another way that I feel like I can honor that memory too.
Nature is reclaiming the slide area. Trees and shrubs are filling in the valley below the hillside. At some point in the future, a visitor driving by might not be able to see any evidence of what happened there years ago. But this memorial is permanent. It'll open to the public tomorrow, and at 10:37 a.m., people touched by the disaster will hold silence there to honor those lost, honor those who found them, and celebrate their lives. I'm Kim Malcolm.